study this evening is from Psalm 38. Shall we turn there? Psalm 38, it's a psalm of David to bring remembrance. Verse 1 reads, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. They are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, Hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. They'd magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would open our understanding of this psalm. Help us, Lord, to learn precious lessons to assure us and to motivate us to live for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, discipline is never easy to accept, even when we deserve it, right? It's never easy. We punish our son. We don't like to do so, but we have to. When I was young, I was also disciplined frequently by my parents. One indelible memory that remains with me is the fact that my mom used to use the handle of a vacuum cleaner, right, to cane me, right? And so it wasn't that painful. It was just awkward. And of course, when it comes down, the air passes through the tube and makes a sound. When it goes up, the air passes through and makes a sound as well. So that memory always reminds me that, you know, discipline was meted out with gentleness. But it was meted out because I deserved it, right? It might sound bad, but actually the handle of a vacuum cleaner, it doesn't hurt that much, right? But this thought came to my head really when I was an adult. It became apparent. I understood, you know, that the the discipline that my parents meted out was for my own good. The desire on their part was not to inflict pain per se, right, but enough so that I would repent. Now we learn from Scripture that God, He disciplines us for our own good. Now, in this psalm, we learn that the psalmist has sinned, and God responds by disciplining him in love. Now there are three stages, you could say, that the psalmist goes through. Discipline, distress, and deliverance. And if we, you know, all of us, if we go through discipline the correct way, we should always result in deliverance, right? If we don't, then the period of distress will be that much longer. So firstly, we see discipline. In verses 1 to 4, the psalmist reveals the who, the why, the how of discipline. So firstly, he reveals the who, right? Who is being disciplined by God? And we learn that it is He. He is the one who is being disciplined. In verse 1, he pleads with God not to discipline him in wrath or displeasure. In verse 2, he says that it is God who is the source of the arrows that stick fast in him, or pierce through him, and that it is God's hand that presses heavily upon him. So that's the who, right? Now, secondly, he tells us why he was disciplined. According to verses 3 and 5, he was disciplined and he suffered because of his sin. Right? Verse 3 tells us that there is no rest. He has no peace because of his sin. And verse 5 tells us that his wounds fester because of his foolishness. Okay? So that's the why. And thirdly, we see how. How did the Lord discipline him? Verses 3 and 4 tell us that God uses physical suffering to correct the psalmist. And, you know, it reminds us that, you know, when we go through trials, when we go through afflictions, tribulations, and even when we go through physical illness, God is the one who sends it to us to make us more like Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that each time you have a physical illness that it is definitely a response to sin in your life, right? You know, the man who was born blind, the disciples asked, you know, who sinned? Was it, you know, the man or was it his parents? And Jesus said, neither, right? This was so that, you know, God would be glorified. So sickness or suffering is not always an evidence of sin. Jesus himself suffered physically, but he was without sin. But what we learn is suffering is sent to teach us obedience, to teach us endurance, right? And that's what Hebrews 5:8 tells us. So, whatever it is, as we do go through calamity or physical suffering, it is a good time to remind ourselves be our sin, right? Could it be? And according to Psalm 38, it could be, right? It really could be. Physical illness was sent to the psalmist so that it would convict him of sin. Okay? But you know, before God sends punishments, he always sends warnings. And that's the wonderful thing about our God. He does not straight away punish. He sends warnings. And he speaks to us through his word. I came across this illustration, which I thought was very apt. There was a minister by the name of Dennis Miller, and his son would always go to the neighbor's house to play. And it happened, you know, since he was quite young. But when he was young, the parents made it a point to tell him that when he reached his friend's house, even though it was like about 100, 200 yards away, that he has to call back to say that he has reached safe. And in the beginning, he did do that. But then subsequently, he failed to do that. So they had to call him. And they said the next time this happens, if they have to call back, then he would have to return home immediately. That would be his punishment. So the next time he went over, the story goes, he did not call back. And so the father, Dennis Miller, said, I went to the telephone, regretting that this time, right, I would have to spoil, right, his play date, in order to help him to realize what he has done was wrong. And Dennis Miller said, as I dialed, I prayed for wisdom. Treat him like I treat you, the Lord seemed to say. And with that, as the telephone rang one time, I hung up. Now, a few seconds later, the phone rang, and it was the son. And the son said, I'm here, Dad. And the father said, what took you so long? And the son replied, I started playing, and I forgot. But Dad, I heard the phone ring once, and then I remembered to call. And so Dennis Miller asked, how often do we think of God as one who waits to punish us when we step out of line? In fact, it's the opposite, right? God often rings once to warn us. And that's the case with many, right, of us. We go through our trials. And sometimes it's a warning to us that we need to repent. So from this story, it's good to remember that God's discipline, it is not arbitrary. It is not volatile, right? It is not vindictive. He punishes, right? He does so with love. Now, with the wicked, he judges. But with those that he loves, he chastises. And ultimately, God's discipline is a sign of his care. And in fact, if we are disciplined by God, it's also a sign of our salvation. I mean, we learn in Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 6, right? He chastises those that he loves, those who are his sons, right? Now, this is seen in the word chasten. The word chasten itself in verse 1 is the Hebrew word yasar. And yasar is used not to speak about judgment, but it is used to talk about instruction. Okay. One commentator has said of this word that the setting is less like the courtroom, but more like the classroom. The Lord is less judge and more like a teacher correcting the student. So remember that even if we are disciplined, right, by the Lord, when we go through trials, God desires to instruct. It is not to punish. So the psalmist has gone through discipline. Now, secondly, we see the distress that he has gone through because of that discipline. Now, what did he experience? And we see here that it was a threefold distress. Firstly, he suffered a debilitating illness. Verse 7, it is called a loathsome disease. Verse 10 says that he was weakened. Then, due to his illness, secondly, he was in distress because he experienced abandonment. Right? Verse 11 tells us that everyone, his friends and his family and everyone, left him. Thirdly, we see the third aspect of his distress. We learn in verses 12 to 14 that he was weakened, and thus he was vulnerable to attacks from his enemies. Now, this, of course, does not need to be a physical illness. It can happen to any of us, right? If we go through, if we are disobedient and God disciplines us, we suffer. It can affect those around us. And it weakens us spiritually, I think that would be the spiritual application there. Now, we learned that his suffering was so intense, he was in distress. Verse 6 says that he was troubled and he was mourning. Verse 9 says that he was groaning. But the wonderful thing is, in the midst of his distress, according to verse 18, he finally confesses to God. You see, that is why God sends his discipline. It's so that our hardness of heart gets weakened. It softens. Our resistance breaks down. And in verse 18 says, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." That's really the wonderful thing about the Lord. He knows we're not perfect, and he knows we will be hardened in our sins. But he sends discipline to get us to the point where we will be restored to him. Right? Now, God disciplines him, he sends distress, but also God gave the psalmist deliverance. Right? That's the last point. Now, God was not only the source of discipline, but the source of deliverance. The discipline worked up that sincere confession. Now we see this deliverance in verses 21 to 22. Right, this is a prayer, no doubt, but we know that this prayer is answered. It says, "Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation," or "O Lord, my Savior." So the psalmist here pleads with God, and we see what's interesting is he invokes all three of the Old Testament names for God, right, in these two verses. Verse 21, he calls him the Lord, right, capital, all capitals, L-O-R-D, and of course this is Jehovah. In verse 22, he calls him Lord, all but lowercase O-R-D, and this is the, you know, the word Adonai. And in verse 21, he calls him God, or Elohim. So he invokes all these three names of God, but in verse 22, he adds a fourth name. He pleads for the coming of the Lord, his salvation. And as I read, the word salvation can be translated as Savior. Now the fourth name here reminds us that the psalmist's hope for deliverance is the same as our hope. Right? Our hope is Christ. Christ is our Savior. Right? In whatever distresses we go through because of sin, the end result is always the same. The solution is always the same, and it is Christ. You know, when we sin, right, it is repentance. It is Christ. So this tells us of discipline. Discipline is never an end in itself. It's never the goal. Neither is the goal of discipline distress. Right? You know, sure, we're human parents. At times we get so, I suppose, angry with our children. But if we as Christian parents have the end of discipline to bring distress to our children, that's completely wicked, isn't it? Right? The end should always be deliverance, to rescue the child, to lead the child to a point of repentance. So the goal of discipline is always turning our hearts to Christ. And that is what the Lord does for us. He sends a discipline because of the sin. The distress can be lengthened or shortened, right, depending on our repentance. Right? And when we confess, there comes the deliverance, salvation. And that's, in a nutshell, what the gospel really is. You know, if only, in all our various situations in our lives, if we would only turn to Christ quicker, you know, swifter, especially when we encounter our distresses. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for dying on the cross for us, and how you have promised in your word that you will never turn anyone away. Lord, we come to you knowing that we have been sinful. We pray, Lord, that you would a godly repentance in our hearts, that there would be a sorrow and a knowledge of what our sins are. Teach us, O Lord, to come quickly, that we would not multiply our sins through a hardened heart. So we thank you, Lord, for the example of this psalmist, to instruct us that you indeed are our Savior, and that you can and you will deliver us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to our sins, to your voice, that we would be children who are pliable in your sight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.